Okay, so today we are looking at the first part of 1 Samuel chapter 30. It has 31 verses, but so we are looking at the first 15 verses for today. And the theme here is David's wives captured by the Amalekites. That's the first part of it. Our study today focuses on the fiery trial of David and his men, as their wives and children and all their possession were taken away by the Amalekites during David's absence in Ziklag, when they joined the Philistines to battle the Israelites. As we saw in the previous study, the lords of the Philistines were not comfortable with David and his men joining them in battle against the Israelites, and therefore insisted that Achish should let them go back. When David and his men returned to Ziklag, they found that the place had been burnt down, with their wives and children, together with their livestock, taken away by the Amalekites. David and his men wept sore that the Lord strengthened David to pursue the Amalekites, having the confidence through an ephod ministered by Abiathar that they shall recover all that were taken by the Amalekites. David and his men finally encountered the Amalekites and defeated them as they retrieved all that were taken from them. The Lord is indeed a restorer. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17 and 18. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, says the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no one seeks after. Thus says the Lord, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of David, Jacob's tent, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. So let's start with David's wives being captured. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were camped in Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burnt it with fire. The fact that David and his men came to Ziklag after 3 days to find a place burnt down shows us that it is through the process of judgment that we become spiritually mature. And the spiritual significance of the number three. Therefore, what happened to David and his men as they found out that all that they had worked for had been taken away was for their spiritual growth in Christ. We mature spiritually through the Lord's judgment or suffering. Our maturity in Christ is measured by what we are becoming in terms of our obedience to Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. The Amalekites were the descendants of Amalek, the grandson of Esau. They therefore represent our flesh. It is important to note in verse 1 that the Amalekites invaded the southern parts of the place they visited, together with Ziklag. Living in the south implies being influenced by the sea of our flesh. Ziklag means winding, and it signifies those whose minds are winding and therefore do not stay focused on Christ. Such people are also susceptible to the dominion of their flesh. David and his men dwelling in Ziklag therefore shows us that at that time he and his men were of the flesh, just as we were of the flesh at a certain stage of our walk with Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. David and his men came to find Ziklag, their dwelling place, destroyed by fire. This indicates that as the Lord's elect, we must go through the fire of the Lord or his judgment in order to be delivered from our flesh. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 2 and 3. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. The wives being taken captives implies that the church systems of this world or Babylon, they are dominated by the flesh. The great and small and the sons refer to all humanity who are carried away by the flesh. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 and 17. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their forehand and in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, nor the name of the beast, or the number of his name. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no power to weep. David and his people lifting their voices and weeping until they had no power to weep signifies that going through the Lord's judgment or suffering is not an easy experience. We all come to our wits' end during the Lord's judgment of our flesh. Psalm 107, verse 25 to 31 says, for he commanded and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depth. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he brings them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. 1 Samuel 35. And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelites. The mention of David's two wives in relation to their captives by the Amalekites shows us that it is an established fact that as the Lord's elect, we must be in Babylon before the Lord comes to deliver us to become part of the church of the firstborn. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 5 to 7 says, for thus this says the Lord, the God of Israel, like this good fix, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set my eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. David sought help from the Lord. First Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 and 7. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me here the ephod. And Abiathar brought there the ephod to David. What David and his men went through as they faced the Lord's judgment is to remind us of the suffering that we go through as the Lord's elect in this age, which destroys our flesh and makes us conform to the image of Christ. This is what David had to say about the benefits of being judged by the Lord in this age. Psalm 119, verse 67 and 68 says, Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good, and thou dost good. Teach me thy statute. Verse 71 of Psalm 119 says, It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 75 and 76 of Psalm 119 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Verses 100 to 104 of Psalm 119 says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words! I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy judgments unto my taste! Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Verse 7 shows us another benefit of being under the Lord's judgment. It causes us to seek him earnestly. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15 says, I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress, earnestly seek me. Isaiah 26, 9 says, My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. As David inquired of the Lord, he was assured that he shall recover all that was taken by the Amalekites without fail. This assurance is another way of saying that when we go through the fire, we shall not be hurt. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 to 5. But now, that says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the fire, through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I give Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 9 and 10. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook bed. These verses highlight the fact that as the Lord's elect, we all start our walk as mere men, as signified by the number 600. That is 6 times 10 times 10. The number 6 is the number of man. And the number 10 shows the fullness of our flesh. The fact that there are two tens is to remind us that in spite of the fullness of our flesh, we are still the Lord's witnesses as we journey in this life to overcome the flesh. What distinguishes us from the people of this world, including our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world, is the book in verse 9, which signifies the truth of the word of the Lord. The name Bezo means cheerful, and this cheerfulness is the joy that is set before us as our understanding of the word of the Lord is enlightened. That is what motivates us in our pursuit to become overcomers of our flesh, which is signified by the Amalekites. Hebrews 12, 10. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 11, 25 and 26. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he, that is Moses, had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The fact that 200 stayed at the brook and 400 continued the pursuit of the Amalekites indicates that we are all given different talents. Some have five, others have two talents. These talents refer to the capabilities that the Lord has given to us to help us minister to one another in this journey of faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members another of another, every one members one of another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exalteth on exaltation, and he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness." In the final analysis, we all receive the same reward, as we shall see later, as we shall see further in this study of 1 Samuel chapter 13. Those who stayed by the book and those who went further to war against the flesh were all given the same reward. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 23 demonstrate that depending, I mean, we may have different gifts and callings, but at the end of the day, if we are able to overcome, we all receive the same reward. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 21 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to everyone according to several abilities. And straight away he took his journey. Then he that has received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that has two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside me. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So all of the one who received 5 and the one who received 2, they all received the same reward. Encountering the Egyptian. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 11 and 12. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he ate, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and 2 clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drank any water 3 days and 3 nights. The Egyptian being in the field signifies the people of this world. The fact that for 3 days and 3 nights he had not eaten nor drank water shows us what the Lord is doing in this age regarding the people of this world. They are going through the process of being starved of the truth of the word of the Lord in this age. This starvation of the truth is through the strong delusion that the Lord has sent to all that do not believe, including our brothers and sisters in Babylon. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 to 12 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In verse 12, the man's spirit came again to himself after eating a cake of figs and 2 clusters of grapes. This signifies that in the fullness of time, the Lord's elect shall minister the word of the Lord to all humanity to be saved. Romans chapter 11, verse 30 to 32. For as you in time past have not believed God, but have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. In another perspective, David and his men giving food to the Egyptian points to the fact that as his elect, we must do good to all humanity. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 13. And David said unto him, to whom belongs thou? Where thou art? Where art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. The man being an Egyptian and a servant to an Amalekite implies that when we are of the world, we are under the dominion of our flesh. Since our flesh is under the control of the devil, we are under the dominion of the devil when we are of this world. In other words, the devil is our father when we are ruled by our flesh. John 8:44 says, you are of your father, the devil. The last of the flesh you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. As indicated earlier, the Egyptian being sick for 3 days, where he had not taken any food, means he was going through the process of being branded by the devil, lest the glorious gospel of Christ should shine on him. We were in this situation when we were in the churches of this world until Christ came to us, just as David and his men came across this Egyptian. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. The fact that the master abandoned the Egyptian after 3 days when he fell sick means that the devil does not waste his time or energy on those that he had already captured through the flesh. In this case, it takes Christ working through his leg to disarm the devil and to release the man from his captivity. Luke chapter 11, verse 21 and 22 say, when a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when the stronger that he shall come upon him, welcome him, he takes from him all that his armor, all his armor wherein he trusted, and divided and divides his spoil. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 14. He made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongs to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. The Egyptian, as part of the Amalekites, invaded the south of the Cherethites, the coast of Judah, and the south of Caleb. It is instructive to note that in all these cities raided, it was the southern parts that were taken by the Amalekites. The south represent those that are close to the sea of our flesh. These cities signify our work in the churches of this world when we were influenced or overwhelmed by our flesh, culminating in the Lord coming to start judging us to destroy by destroying the winding that is like the path of our old man or flesh with the fire of his word. Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 14 says, I, the Lord, have spoken. The time has come for me to act. I will not hold back. I will not have pity, nor will I relent. According to your ways and your deeds, I will judge you, declares the sovereign Lord. Ezekiel 7:3 says, now the end is come upon you, and I will send my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will punish you for all your abominations. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 15. And David said to him, can thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God, thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. Here in verse 15, we see that it was the Egyptian, a servant of an Amalekite, that he led David and his men to the Amalekites, who took away their possession to begin the recovery process. It signifies that the zeal of our flesh help us to some extent in our initial walk with Christ. For example, when the Lord appeared to Abraham to leave, it was Abraham's father, Terah, his own flesh, who brought Abraham as far as Haran, but not to the promised land of Canaan. That's in Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. And Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran's, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Verse 5 of Isaiah 60 says, then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlightened, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. That's all to demonstrate how the flesh, and even the people of the world, they help us in our walk with Christ at a certain point of our walk. I think that's where we end. And so may the Lord be merciful to us, even as we go through the fiery trials of this life in this age. Amen.